Bruce Jenkins joins Damon every single week, but today he's got Chris Townsend, Roxy Bernstein. He's the best. Bruce, thank you so much for taking the time tonight. I'm going to ask you the question. You've been watching basketball for a long, long time. Jordan's talking about the super teams. There's two of them, and the rest of the league stinks. So I've been wondering, what constitutes, in your eyes, what constitutes a super team?
Well, I mean, I go back to the Celtics of the '60s. A super team is when you build a team, you know, regardless of the, you know, the quotas on black players. They were the first team to start an all-black starting five. They won 8 straight titles. They won 11 out of 13, and they basically kept the same guys. There were no major deals in that entire stretch, and they kicked everybody's butt every year. And they were the class of the league. So that to me is a classic super team. And I put the Warriors in that category, not so much as much as they haven't accomplished that much, but they did it all through drafts. At least at that first title, then they finally got Durant as a free agent. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they built that team, you know, as honestly as you can do it. That to me is the best definition of a super team, as opposed to, you know, LeBron and Wade and Bosh going to Miami and forming that super team, which of course it was. But there's a designation to be made, and I like it much better when the teams do it from within, so to speak.
People want to put the negative designation, Bruce, on a super team that, oh, well, they had to go over there and they had to bring these guys in to win. Do you see it as a negative outlook on the team when, oh, it's a super team and, oh, that's what they had to do to win?
No, I don't see what's wrong with drafting Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Do you?
No, not at all.
And I don't see what's wrong with there's a free agent out there named Kevin Durant, and, you know, by God, they got him. I mean, this is life in the NBA. There's not a single negative connotation to this. People seem to portray the Warriors as, you know, they're villains and like they somehow cheated their way to their superiority. Well, they just outsmarted everybody is what they did.
God, and it's crazy to think, Bruce, and you remember back when athletes had to fight for free agency and Kurt Flood and all this, and to think that now where we are in 2017, they're trying to act like free agency is a bad thing when all those former players and all the sports would have killed to have what they have today with the movement.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, one thing about that those bygone eras, like, you know, and the Celtics being the good example, is that they couldn't really leave the team if they wanted to. I don't think many guys would have wanted to leave Bill Russell and Havlicek and all those guys, but absolutely. I mean, it was a form of slavery. It's been described that way. You know, guys are on short-term deals, and they try to, maybe they didn't have agents, and they try to talk their way into getting a new deal, or maybe they just, you know, get banished out of it. They had no say in it whatsoever. And, you know, people like Kurt Flood made sure that was a thing of the past.
So, Bruce, when you look at this group getting ready to start the season with the Warriors, we talked about this with Tim Roy earlier, about what excites you the most about getting ready to watch his team begin the season?
Well, I mean, you know, it's stuff like Jordan Bell. You know, my daughter just enrolled at Oregon, and we knew that for a while, and we followed Oregon really closely last year. The guy's just an absolute monster. He had an unfortunate finish at the very, very end in the Final Four where he didn't box out twice, guys shooting free throws, and it hurt him. And it still haunts him because the guy's an absolute animal. He's just a maniac on the court, and he's very smart. I mean, I think he's even surprised the Warriors how comfortable he is within the offense. And just the whole scheme of things he's comfortable with. You know, but besides that, I mean, you know, we get a full season of Curry and Durant. It does seem like an overload to the opposition. It's like, you got to be kidding me, these guys are on the same team. But these are two of the greatest. They're two of the greatest shooters of all time. But not only that, you know, Curry is the most distinctive and deadly outside shooter that ever came along. I mean, he pulls up from 30, you know, and there's no problem. And Durant is a 7-footer, and nobody ever moved like that. And we get to watch those two guys, and say nothing of Klay Thompson, who has this sort of a Jerry West perfect shot release. We get to watch that all season. I think that's exciting. I think around here, you know, the joy of the Warriors has not worn off.
Bruce Jenkins with us here on 95.7 The Game. And when you think about the rest of the league. Let's just play everybody's healthy going forward. If you had to bet on one team being the biggest threat to the Warriors, who would that be?
Well, I wrote about this a little bit for tomorrow's paper, but I'm saying Cleveland. I don't really want another Warriors-Cleveland final, although it's pretty cool whenever you get LeBron in there, and it certainly wouldn't be a bad thing. But I think Cleveland, you know, even though LeBron has got the wandering eye and might leave, I don't think he's going to let that affect his season. He's going after a ring, and whoever he's got with him, he's going to band together, and they're going to be really tough. I think Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose have a little left in them, the two Chicago guys. When Isaiah Thomas comes back, if he comes back the way we remember him, they're going to be great. I mean, you know, they throw in Korver and J.R. Smith. They got shooting all over the place. The defense is going to do them in, as it will do in all the teams that are contenders, except with the possible exception of San Antonio. But, you know, they did pick up Crowder and you know, JR is not a bad defender. They Tristan Thompson can get in there, and they can do some defensive things. I think overall, I just think they've got the most to offer. I think Houston's pretty close, but I think defense is really going to hurt them. They picked up a few guys, but you know, on the real side, they want to play Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson and Ariza. You know, with Paul and James Harden and one of the centers, and the defense is going to hurt them. When they play that way, which is the way they want to play. They don't want to play a defensive lineup. OKC, you know, Carmelo doesn't play a whole lot of D. They'll be pretty good on defense. I'm just wondering how they split up the ball, with Paul George and Westbrook and Carmelo, and who takes the big shot. Because Westbrook and George are really not known for hitting the big shot from the outside when it really matters in the last 20 seconds if you look at the numbers. So it's really interesting. I don't think it's clear-cut, but I'm still going Cleveland.
When you look at Boston now with the trade that they made with the Cavs, how do you see the Kyrie Irving move to Boston affecting that team?
Well, I think it's going to be great. I mean, he's saying all the right things, and I really think he wants to be more of a true point guard. You know, when he got the ball with Cleveland, you know, with all those other guys around, especially LeBron, he just felt like, all right, I'm going to work now. I'm going 1-on-5. And he's the best I've ever seen at that. He's the most amazing penetrator, most amazing handle, even more than Curry, that I've seen. I've been following the league since, you know, the early 60s. And it was awesome. But, you know, with Boston, it's really kind of his show now. He's got to make sure that Gordon Hayward gets off. He's got to make sure Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, get into this thing and they feel right. He's got to get Marcus Smart involved and Horford. And I think he's got the capability. The guy's a genius out there, really. He's one of the most amazing talents we've seen. He's got a good outside shot. So, I mean, I think unless he just reverts to ISO every time he gets the ball, which I can't imagine in a Brad Stevens offense, I think it's going to be great.
Isn't it amazing, too, the basketball gods, they hook up first game of the season?
Oh, God, it's pretty amazing. That was set before the Isaiah trade, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. It's ridiculous. So juicy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the whole schedule is full of juice for me. I mean, anytime you see OKC or Houston, you want to watch it, you know. You want to watch San Antonio. You want to watch the Warriors, Cleveland, Boston. You want to watch John Wall. And, you know, maybe two-thirds of the season, it'll start getting a little bit old. But it always does. It always gets to be like, all right, let's start the playoffs now. We know what's what. But, yeah, it's right off the bat, the schedule, you know, and not a moment too soon, by the way. It's finally here, and it's going to be great.
Let's switch over to football, and I've been getting all this weird stuff ever since yesterday about the Raiders and their locker room, and it's fractured, and it stems from the Washington game. How do you go about dissecting what's going on with a team that just does not look themselves anymore?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I don't cover the Raiders or the 49ers, you know, live in practice there at the game. So the locker room is a difficult one for me to address. It's just that, you know, when you think about it, Tony, what is their strength right now? The offensive line isn't doing it. The running game isn't happening. You know, Marshawn Lynch is just a wild beast out there, but he's not getting many holes. The defense has been pretty good, but they give up, you know, yardage when it really matters. It's against the Chargers, the latest example. Derek Carr doesn't look himself. I got to think he's still not quite physically right. The passing game is just completely shot. You know, Amari Cooper, I don't know where he went, but he's not here. And Crabtree's in and out. You can't even – this is a team that – who looked so good in the preseason and right off the bat, and all of a sudden you wonder what really are their strengths. And the coaching has been a little suspect too. You know, when things go bad, it seems to just steamroll. My God, they got Khalil Mack, but the pass rush isn't that great. I mean, everywhere you look, all of a sudden they look really vulnerable, and now they got KC coming up, and they could get buried.
Bruce, let's switch gears
that's
again.
How I dissect them.
you're dead on. It's like it's hard to explain. And the thing that's weird about it, Bruce, is the people who are around it every single day and they do believe this, they know that whatever is happening, it's being kept inside the locker room. It's not leaking out.
Yeah, whatever's happening. I mean, this is a team for all that I've gathered. You know, heading into the season, the first couple of weeks, there was no, like, dissension. There wasn't any locker room stuff going on there. Now, maybe some guys have vanished, and they're getting hammered in there, and it's divided the team. You know, I can't speak to that. But, you know, when you take the field in any sport, and we've seen a lot of examples when teams have a lot of dissension, there's fights breaking out, and guys hate each other. But when they take the field, you know, they're good, and they do trust each other for that hour or two. We see it in all sports, and to me, I don't like that as an excuse for what the Raiders are doing. Unless it's just so bad that we don't have any idea how bad it is.
Want to switch gears with you and jump into the baseball playoffs? And what have you seen so far from this October excitement?
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in Southern California. I mean, I go so far back. I was at World Series watching Koufax and Drysdale pitch for the Dodgers, and if you live down there and that's where you're going to the games, you're going to be a Dodger fan, so I apologize to that, to the fans out there. When I went up to Cal, everything changed. The next thing you know, I'm a sports writer. I'm not a fan of anybody, and I certainly haven't embraced the Dodgers over the years, you know, covering the Giants. I like it when the Giants do well, but I really like this Dodger team. I like Bellinger. I like Turner, you know, Kershaw, with Seager when he comes back. I like Dave Roberts a lot. I love what Puig's doing. I think he's a great show. I don't think I don't think he's showing up anybody or being a big, showboat or any of that. I like what they're doing. And Houston is the other team that I've really been into. And that to me would be a great World Series. I mean, that lineup, you guys got guys like Reddick and Yuli Gurriel from Cuba, just a tremendous hitter. These guys, you know, you got to get past Correa and Altuve and Springer before you even start talking about them. And they got Verlander, and they're just a runaway success right now. So that to me, those are the two teams that I've been enjoying watching the most. I think any of the possible World Series matchups would be good, but that's the one I'd like to see.
He is one of the best from the San Francisco Chronicle, Bruce Jenkins. He joins us here, Chris Towns and Roxy Bernstein, 95.7 The Game. And you just talk about the firepower between those two teams. If we do have this as the World Series between the Dodgers and the Astros, the thing is, it's still like hard to believe Kershaw, five and dive kind of guy. And the one thing that you got to like about the Astros beyond the firepower is when you got Keuchel and Verlander back to back, remember how much they criticized the Astros and Lunau for not getting anybody at the deadline? The way they got Verlander, when you got that 1-2 punch, that can be so big for you in a 7-game series.
Yeah, Tony, remember Verlander against the A's in those playoff series?
We've been trying to forget that, Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
What, would he give it like no runs or one run in 31 innings or something? I mean, and we're seeing him now. He's still that guy. There were some doubts about him during the season, but oh my God, he's like absolutely vintage. And you know, Keuchel's ridiculous too. You know, McCullers is a little bit down, but that 1-2 punches. I mean, I agree. The Dodgers, I don't think they can match that. Kershaw, you know, I wouldn't say he's going to be not pitching after the fifth inning and the rest of the way. I think he's got a couple gems left in him, but he hasn't been the same guy. Darvish, they're not totally sure about. Richfield came out big. They've been a little, those guys have all been a little bit erratic. But it just makes it really, really fascinating. I mean, I love Rich Hill out there with the big bender, and he's doing a little hop after he's pitching like he's in a bowling alley or something. Darvish is very, a very interesting pitcher. There's just really interesting players up and down. You know, then a guy like Gattis comes up there, just a blacksmith. You know, just hacking, he's screaming liners to left field. You know, he's not even in the scouting report some of the time, I wouldn't think. So, I mean, it's a cool time of the year. Baseball's lost a little bit of parity, but the teams at the top, you know, really sustain it this time of year.
Well, your head football coach, Justin Wilcox, is going to join us next. So you might want to stick around for a little Cal football.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, as a Cal guy, I never expect anything to go well, especially at the end. But I really like what – and it goes back to 58, so I got a fair amount of evidence there. But I really like Wilcox. I mean, bringing in the defense, the good defensive coordinator, just the whole defensive mentality. It's amazing what you can do with basically the same guys from last year's depth chart, and all of a sudden they have a great defense. It's not the best in the country. I mean, they give up yards, but they stick people, and they came up huge against Washington State. All of a sudden they're probably going to – they're looking at getting a bowl game, which would be amazing when you think about how they looked in preseason. I was looking at, like, Weber State was the only game I was sure they were going to win, and now they could win 6 or 7. So good for Wilcox, and he seems like a great guy. Dave Wilcox's son, he's just solid as all get out, and I think that's great for Cal.
Bruce, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, right on. Thanks, guys.
Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle.